Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday show here on the Hoosier Report. We're glad you're with us. Don't forget, we do this every day, weekday, live at 11 o'clock. The replay is at 3 o'clock most days, unless we've got baseball or something else going. And of course, if you miss it live, we're on SoundCloud, we're on Apple Podcasts. There's lots of different avenues for you to catch our program each day. And a lot of you guys are doing that. We appreciate those of you that are along for the live show and for the replay on the Big X and our growing podcast audience. Very appreciative of some of the feedback and of the listenership we get from that side as well. People both local and far that are picking up on the program. So thank you for that. And I hope you'll make plans if you're new or with us occasionally to be with us somehow, some way every day here on the program. Last night, IU baseball loses a tough one. I got to watch the last, I don't know, 2.5, 3 innings of the game at Kentucky, a Kentucky team that their record overall and in the SEC conference doesn't indicate that they are on the level of Indiana this season, but still a big win for Kentucky over Indiana in baseball last night. We'll talk some about that coming up. And a big one coming up next week. I think IU jumps back into Big Ten play this weekend. And after that, a midweek stop at Louisville next week, which will be fun as well, hoping for great weather, hoping to get out to that one. So big games coming for the Hoosiers, both in the conference and out of the conference, as they get ready to wrap up, which is crazy to say, at least the regular season for college baseball this year. Also tonight, speaking of baseball, very excited to be back on the air with some high school baseball coverage here in Clark and Floyd counties. It's the Hoosier Hills Conference Tournament Week in all sports, and the baseball tournament is moving along with the semifinals tonight, and we will be at Floyd Central as the Highlanders take on Jeffersonville. So a big rivalry game between local teams, and it should be a good one. It should be a fun one. The winner of that game will go on to take on the winner of either New Albany and Bedford on Friday night. We'll also have that game, no matter who advances on. We're guaranteed of at least one local team with Jeff and Floyd Central playing each other tonight. So Lee Kelly will be with me as always. P.K. Falkenstein joins the broadcast tonight always as well. And we'll be on maybe just a shade before 6 o'clock with the lineups and a couple pregame comments. The first pitch in the Hoosier Hills semifinal game tonight at Floyd is at 6 o'clock, so make sure you're with us tonight if you can't make it up. There should be a beautiful night and I think a pretty good week, so if you can get out and see some local baseball and support your local high school team, that would be great as well. We're looking forward to being out there. We've just had a lot of conflicts. We had the Pacers in the playoffs. We had our stuff tied up on Derby Week with equipment and things like that. But we're looking forward to being there tonight for the semifinals of the conference tournament, the championship game on Friday, and, of course, we'll try to pick up a couple additional regular season games here in the next couple weeks, and really looking forward to postseason. We've been spoiled, at least in the years that we've done baseball here on the Big X, with some great teams locally that have made runs in the postseason. We'll start, if you're wondering, as always, at the 4A sectional, which is going to be played at Bedford North Lawrence this year. And we know that one of the games we're definitely going to see coming out of the gate could we see later this week, depending on what happens tonight. But Jeff and New Albany drew each other in the bye game. They're going to play in that second night of sectional action. And I guess if Jeff beats Floyd tonight, if New Albany can beat a solid Bedford team tonight, we could see an early preview of that. We've already seen the regular season matchup of those two teams, which New Albany won, but we could see them play Friday, potentially,
and we could see him play in the sectional for sure coming up in the bye game. So that could get interesting here over the final few weeks of the high school baseball season. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I'll have our Hoosier headlines. We'll take a look at some of the big news in IU and Southern Indiana sports today. We'll talk some about the IU baseball loss to Kentucky last night. We don't know an opponent, but we at least know that IU is going to be playing at Madison Square Garden next year. I'll tell you about that. A couple recruiting notes coming up as well. And the Indiana All-Stars officially announced their schedule for the summer, for the Junior All-Star Games, for the Junior-Senior Exhibition Game, and, of course, the big one, the Indiana-Kentucky Series, the two-game series between the best players in each state in the current senior class. And we'll tell you those dates coming up here in just a few minutes as well. That's what we'll do in the first segment. Later in the program, I'll be joined by Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com to talk some IU basketball, IU baseball, might even get to some IU football. I've been wanting to get a little football talk on lately, but we haven't made it that far. We'll hope to do so today with Ken Bykoff. Later in the program, Craig Pearson, the sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will be with me as well. We'll talk local sports headlines here in Southern Indiana. That's the guest lineup for today, presented by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, it's time for our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. IU loses last night, and really, the Hoosiers, who fall to 31-17, a pretty good record overall, and they're 12-6. Of course, this was a non-Big Ten game, but they're 12-6 in Big Ten play, going back into Big Ten play coming up this weekend. They got off to a bad start, gave up a pair of runs in the first inning, and then in the bottom of the seventh inning, it looked like Indiana was in process of mounting a comeback. They got a couple guys on base. They moved those guys into scoring position, and some big strikeouts hurt the Hoosiers' chances at a come-from-behind victory down in Lexington on Tuesday night. So IU falls in that game. IU will get back into Big Ten play, and of course we're talking a little more baseball, not just because they've got some rivalry games with Kentucky and then the forthcoming game with Louisville, but it's nearing the end of the regular season and of the conference season. IU will get back into Big Ten play this weekend. They play at Michigan in Ann Arbor. Of course, that's a big series for IU, a three-game series, because Michigan currently is the Big Ten leader. I believe the Hoosiers are 2.5 games behind Michigan in the standings heading into this weekend. So it's obviously a big, big weekend for IU baseball. And they come out of that weekend after games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon in Ann Arbor and come back down this way to Louisville on Tuesday night for a 7:05 first pitch at Louisville. Actually, that game is at Bloomington, excuse me. They take on Louisville. It's at Bloomington, a 7:05 first pitch game, and that's Tuesday night. So it will be a fun game always when those two programs that have been so successful, Louisville, of course, ultra successful in baseball, and they've been able to do it with a lot of local prospects. IU has done the same. They've had a number of players from Southern Indiana as well on the roster over recent years, with some more guys coming, some of the seniors here in the area and others being recruited or already committed to Indiana at this point. A basketball note, and no, this isn't a recruiting note. I feel like every time we talk IU basketball this time of year, it's something about potentially in the future with a recruit. This is for next season with the schedule. And that's one of the fun things in the offseason. You can kind of slowly but surely put at least the non-conference schedule together. And we know a couple things. We know IU's going to play Arkansas at home next season. That's because of a series that's been signed, part of a shootout that's a three-game deal. We also know that IU will play Notre Dame in the Crossroads Classic in December. That game is at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. But outside of that, and it's still very early, not a lot known about the schedule until yesterday. John Rothstein of CBS, he reported that IU is going to play in the annual Jimmy V Classic, which takes place each year at Madison Square Garden. It's one of the big nights of college basketball in early December. I think it's normally on a Tuesday night. Matchups have not been announced, but here's what we know. Connecticut, Texas Tech, and Louisville will join Indiana in that doubleheader that will take place at Madison Square Garden. We think we'll know the matchups for sure later this month. I saw Alex Bozich write in a story about the IU playing in the event that last year, May 23rd, was the date that ESPN, who broadcasts and also organizes the Jimmy V Classic, announced the actual pairings or the matchups. It's really not a tournament, but at least the one-game matchups for the four participating teams. A lot of people out there think that it might be Louisville, which, if you think about things, it very likely would make a lot of sense and a lot of reason to pair those two up against each other to play at Madison Square Garden. So potentially IU Louisville next season, potentially at Madison Square Garden. That could be a lot of fun, no question about that. There were some rumors and reports even, I believe, that IU would play West Virginia in the Jimmy V Classic, but that obviously never came to fruition this past season. So it looks like Indiana will get a chance to participate next year, the 2019 version of the event. We'll see who they're going to play. Will it be Louisville, Texas Tech, or Connecticut? We think we'll find out later this month. This is a recruiting note, and this one may hurt a little bit if it goes the way that some of the people are projecting in the crystal ball on the recruiting sites, but Butler area Pennsylvania guard Ethan Morton, he's back up in that Pennsylvania region where Archie Miller and his family are from or nearby that area, and Indiana has been recruiting him now for a couple years at least since Archie Miller arrived, and he's a junior in high school, member of the 2020 class, will be a senior next year. He tweeted out yesterday that, quote, "I will be tweeting out my college decision on Thursday at 8:45 p.m. A lot of the projections that I have seen on that 24/7 sports crystal ball, those recruiting experts, they have Morton going to Purdue, which is tough, especially when you consider it's somebody from the at least the same part of the state that the Miller family is from and that IU has been involved with now for a number of years. Morton has been on campus at least once that I can remember. He did take an official visit last year to Bloomington. So we'll find out his decision. But a lot of people think that he is going to come to the Hoosier State. It just may not be in the cream and crimson. He might be a next addition to the 2020 recruiting class for Matt Painter and the Purdue Boilermakers. So that's a recruiting note today. Also, yesterday, the Indiana All-Stars, they announced a whole bunch of dates and information about where and when and details on All-Star and related games that will take place this summer. And a couple interesting things, the Kentucky versus Indiana Juniors, that's been a two-game series that has taken place the last couple years. It's kind of a new addition to things in the Indiana-Kentucky rivalries. Those games are going to take place here in the area, and I'll tell you those details on Sunday, June 2nd, a junior versus junior game, Indiana versus Kentucky, will take place right across the river at Mercy Academy in Louisville, so it's going to be easy to get to if you want to get over and watch some All-Star basketball. Then the next day, Monday, June 3rd, at Jeffersonville, right here in the area, the Indiana Junior All-Stars will take on the Kentucky Junior All-Stars in the second game of a two-game series. Later that week, on Wednesday, June 5th, the Indiana All-Stars, the senior team, they take on the Indiana Junior All-Stars in an exhibition game. Again, that's Wednesday, June 5th at Newcastle High School. And then after that, we get into the main event. That's Indiana versus Kentucky. The seniors, that first game will take place Friday, June 7th at Bellarmine. So easy to get to if you live in our area right across the river in Louisville. And the second game of that series will be Indiana-Kentucky, the seniors, the very next day on Saturday, June 8th. And, of course, that's the big location at Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. So a lot of summer basketball forthcoming. Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin, they would be expected to play and I believe will play in the exhibition game on June 5th. Of course, at Bellarmine against Kentucky on June 7th and at Bankers Life on June 8th. So some IU interest in a lot of those games. And, of course, in the underclassmen game at Mercy and at Jeff, there you get the chance to see not only some local players like Trey Coleman, that's a junior all-star, but Trey Galloway, who just got an IU offer, Anthony Leal, just got an IU offer. Those guys would be scheduled to play in those junior games right here in our backyard as well. So some opportunities forthcoming if you haven't seen them or haven't seen a lot of them to maybe get a little bit more familiar with some of the great players in our state, even the underclassmen, and some of the big names that we expect IU to be in on with for the foreseeable future that perhaps could become future Hoosiers or definitely will play college basketball at a high level. Those are the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. A reminder, tonight we have high school baseball live on the Big X. It's Floyd Central hosting Jeffersonville. It's a Hoosier Hills Conference baseball tournament semifinal game tonight. The winner of that game moves to the championship on Friday and will take on either New Albany or Bedford North Lawrence. They've also played tonight. We'll have some updates throughout the Jeff Floyd game of what's going on over at New Albany between the Bulldogs and the Stars. How about this? Jeff got to the semifinal game tonight. They cruised past Madison. I mean, absolutely just blasted them. I think it was they had 15 or more runs and shut out Madison earlier this week on Monday night. Floyd Central, they came from behind to beat Columbus East, who's really good this season. A big statement-type win at this point of the season for the Highlanders, which makes me think that Jeff and Floyd will be a very competitive game tonight. Bedford beat Seymour earlier in the week. New Albany was able to win their first round game at Jennings County to set up the top half of the bracket. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll be live at Floyd Central for that game, and then we'll be back on Friday. Whoever wins Jeff and Floyd will take on either New Albany or Bedford, and we'll have the Hoosier Hills Conference Baseball Championship game on Friday for you as well. That's also a 6 o'clock first pitch. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com joins us. We'll talk IU baseball, the loss last night at Kentucky. We'll talk some basketball headlines as well, maybe even a little football today when Ken is with us here on the program. We'll head to a break. We'll come back with more. This is a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program. Ken Bykoff of Pigs.com is with me. We're going to start with IU baseball, the loss last night at Lexington. We're going to get into some IU basketball and maybe even some football a little bit later in the segment. But nonetheless, Ken, always great to have you with us on the program. IU baseball got off to a tough start last night, and then it looked like later in the game they might mount a comeback. But that fell short, stranding two guys in scoring position as Kentucky would lead wire to wire and go on to win. Still, that said, IU baseball is in a really good position in the conference as they head for a big weekend series at Michigan. And then, of course, a lot of people really excited about IU Louisville, which will take place next Tuesday night in Bloomington. Fun time right now to follow this Hoosier baseball team.
Yeah, and it, you know, it's crazy. Just a couple of years ago, now it's been some time now, but you couldn't imagine saying that sentence. And you know, and now here we are, and they're sitting at second place in the Big Ten, and they, you know, their bats are going, man, they are explosive, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And that to me is just going to be the key when it comes to this weekend series at Michigan. It's just you gotta put runs on the board, and Indiana has the ability to do that. They've exploded a few times this year, but they've also done a good job of playing in tight ball games and finding ways to win. Even you look at the Minnesota game a couple of weeks ago, that you know, they end up winning the thing, 7-6 on a walk-off homer. It's just scoring runs and just staying, building that momentum and getting in a rhythm at the plate, that's been the key for them. And that's what's going to be so critical against Michigan. And then, like you mentioned, the Louisville game that's coming up next Tuesday at Bart Kauffman Field, a lot of people are excited about it. It's not a conference game, but it just is another measuring stick for this program. And I know that there's going to be a packed house for a Tuesday night game at Bart. It's just so great to see this program take the steps that it has, because, again, it doesn't feel like that long ago that we would have never been talking about this at all.
We're talking to Ken Bykoff, Little High U Baseball, to start the segment with Ken today. Big Ten tournament is coming up, which is crazy. After the Louisville game next Tuesday, it's a three-game series, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday series with Rutgers. And then May 22nd, the start of the Big Ten tournament that's going to take place in Omaha. IU, second place in the conference. I think I saw 2.5 games behind Michigan heading into a series at Ann Arbor this weekend. Talk about the Big Ten tournament and what could be beyond that for IU baseball.
Well, it's going to be a challenge in Michigan because they've been really good at home, this weekend. But like I said, Indiana has the bats to do it, and they've been, okay on the road. Not great, but okay. And so they're just trying to set them up for that. And then, once you get into the Big Ten tournament, your bats come alive. You have the ability to win it. And beyond that, the fact that they're ranked 25th in the country, have been ranked even higher than that, gives them a lot of momentum and a lot of potential to make some noise. Once you get into the NCAA tournament, as long as they're able to keep up that momentum and earn that invite, it's going to be real exciting to watch, because this is a program that has a lot of really great weapons. A guy like Matt Lloyd is hitting the ball well. He's getting on base. He just has plenty of power. Even a guy, like Cole Barr, who's, not a great hitter in terms of average, but he puts the ball in the stands, 14 homers right now. It's just they have a lot of different weapons on this team. And when you get into a tournament, if those bats come alive, special things could happen, and Indiana has all the potential in the world there.
Talking to Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, IU Baseball. You get to this point of the season, I don't know if it was you and I a week ago or if it was Zach Osterman and I, but on this program we were talking about, IU Baseball, the season's been going for a couple months now, and it's a quick season. It goes fast. All of a sudden you're talking about the season, the regular season at least, almost over in the Big Ten tournament. But I'm guilty on this program, and I know a lot of IU supporters in this area really think a lot of the baseball program and are really excited about the new coach. And over the years, recent years even, including this year, having local players from some of our great high school baseball programs down here in the River Cities that end up going to Indiana has really made for a good connection, where I think people are more aware and pay a little bit more attention to baseball in the spring at IU. But it's really, to me, this week, next week, when maybe the casual fan that's checked some scores, that's listened to the radio, that's read a few reports about how the team's doing, kind of digs in, because that IU-Kentucky game, obviously anytime those two teams hook up in any sport, it's going to be a big deal. And then the Louisville-Indiana game, that's had some interesting connections in recent years, and both teams have been good, and Louisville's just been outstanding, has become an outstanding baseball program in the college game. But this is really the time, I think, where the casual fan that's maybe not in Bloomington, that maybe doesn't have a real deep connection to the team or the program, starts to pay a lot more of attention. And that's exciting. And the Louisville game, that what a great natural rivalry that has become in baseball. So to me, this is like the mainstream time, I guess you could say, for IU baseball.
Yeah, and the tough part about that is, first off, people aren't used to getting excited about IU baseball. Yes, they've been good for some time now, but still, it's not something that they've grown up with. The fact that fans are interested at all has everything in the world to do with the foundation that Tracy Smith set, and then Chris Lamone has continued, and Jeff Mercer is continuing now, and Indiana's move from Sembauer Field to Bart Kauffman Field. really made a huge difference just in terms of what the community gets out of IU baseball. And, it's a shame because they play so much in the, in February and March, and when the weather in Bloomington is not great, and then once the weather changes, the season's coming to an end. So it's a little bit of a frustration from that, but it's just how things are. It's the sport. So they've done a great job of just building the program and connecting with the community over the past several years. And like you said, part of that has to do with the local talent involved. Part of it has to do with the fact that there are other programs in the area that are worth seeing and creates rivalries. But most important to me is just the construction of that day of Bart-Kaufman Field some years ago that really made it so that it felt like you were going to it wasn't a high school game that you were going to, which is what the field was at Sembauer. Now you feel like you're going to a big-time college baseball game, and they get great crowds there and a lot of energy. It's fun for families. It's fun for kids. And it's just something that everybody can get behind. And that, more than anything, I think, has helped maintain the energy. Because when you're bringing in recruits, you can tell people that, hey, look at this facility that we have. Look at the fan support that we have. It makes a difference. And that's part of the reason why Indiana's been able to continue to build momentum and sustain success over the years, build a program. It's because of the support that they get from the community that leads to better recruiting, that leads to better players, that leads to more support, and it just kind of snowballs from there.
Talking with Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. Let's switch gears and talk a little basketball here for a few moments. One of the fun parts of a slow off season outside of the recruiting chatter, and I know a lot of people really get into the recruiting stuff. Some people say, I want to know about them when they commit, when they become part of the IU family. But one of the fun things that I think people do like to piece together in the off season is the non-conference schedule. We know the Big Ten matchups, the home games, the away games, the series games, and protected rivalry games. We don't know the dates, obviously, but now we can begin to piece a few things together in the non-conference season. Still a long, long way to go with that. But yesterday we found out from John Rothstein of CBS Sports that IU will play in the annual Jimmy V Classic, which is, to me, one of the big tip-offs of college basketball. It always takes place early in the season, early December, I believe, on a Tuesday night, and we know that IU will be there, Louisville will be there, Texas Tech and Connecticut as part of that two-game series. Now the question becomes, is it the matchup that I think everybody would like to see? And that, of course, would be IU and Louisville at the Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden.
That's a good question. That's a good question. The matchups have yet to be sent out, but it's one of those things where it would draw a lot of attention. And this is a TV event, obviously, and it's interesting to me because I've written about how the status of the program has taken a bit of a step back over the past quarter century, and how the results don't necessarily meet up with the reputation of the program. But when it comes to ratings, when it comes to television, when it comes to eyeballs tuning in, Indiana is a blue blood as much as anybody else. The results don't and may not supported the results on the court, but the attention that it gets, absolutely that's the case. And that's why Indiana keeps ending up in these big-time events. And again, that's something you certainly could sell on the recruiting trail. And make sure that even though Indiana hasn't had the level of success that they would like, there's always still a ton of eyeballs, and part of them being in the conversation year after year is just the fact that they play in these kind of things. And certainly, to be mentioned in the same breath as Louisville and Texas Tech, that just played for a national championship, or UConn that's been very successful in the past 20 years. And then you have Indiana, who hasn't won a national championship in 30-plus years, isn't a program that has had on-court success that's matched its reputation. Reputation gets them to New York for this one. So it's certainly a very nice event for Indiana to be able to show off what its new team is going to look like, because, again, it's going to be a very different team next year than what we saw this year, especially with 9 different players moving on. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they're going to be able to match up early in the year and use the game kind of as a measuring stick situation.
Talking to Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. some IU basketball now here in this segment. You know, we've talked a lot about Romeo, NBA draft forthcoming, his hand injury, spotted him at a pre-derby party over the weekend. We've talked a lot about that stuff. I just saw, as you were coming on with me today, a report from Stu Jackson that Juwan Morgan is going to work out today for the Memphis Grizzlies. And Stu also reporting that he's got a workout scheduled, I believe, tomorrow with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I don't know exactly, I don't know that any of us know exactly what the path will be for Juwan Morgan with the NBA. I don't know that his name pops up a lot in a second round even as being someone that's expected to get drafted. But it's a good sign he's getting some workouts with NBA teams. Obviously, there are multiple routes you can go to still get to the NBA, even if it doesn't happen right off the bat, and that very well could be the path that Juwan Morgan has to take. But nonetheless, I know IU fans adore him and want to see him continue to play basketball at a high level, want to see him get paid to play, and it's nice to see him get some big workouts here with NBA teams.
Well, and just it's the experience of being in camps and being able to work out and get some tape in front of you. And look, we all know what he could do on the court. We saw him. And he's one of those guys that never wows you with his athleticism, wows you in pretty much anything, to be quite honest with you. He's not somebody who's just eye-popping quick or really athletic. Well, what he does is he plays solid basketball that's not going to hurt your team. And you're going to be able to build a career on that regardless of where you play. Being able to get these workouts for NBA teams means that they're going to get a chance to meet him, know what kind of mature player that you have, and if you could bring in a guy who's going to do the dirty work, who's going to help you out along the way, is willing to play defense, is willing to dive on the floor, is willing to do all of that without being a problem in the locker room, without being somebody who you have to worry about spouting off to the media or anything like that, it means something. And so all of that that goes into his game, he's not somebody that I expect to be drafted, but he is somebody who I think is probably going to get a good summer league invite, going to get an opportunity to maybe catch on with the G League team and prove that he could play NBA-style basketball. And even if he doesn't, he certainly has a bright future playing somewhere for pay. And ultimately, I know there's a ton of attention that gets paid to playing in the NBA. And a big key to that is you don't have to convince every team that you're going to be great in the NBA or that you're an NBA player. You have to convince one team that you're an NBA player. And that's what he's really shooting for. He's a guy I think that could help a lot of teams in a lot of different ways, whether it be the NBA, G League, overseas, wherever. He still has a bright future in basketball wherever he lands.
Ken Bykoff, Peaks.com is my guest. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what his next move is. Again, I have not seen his name, unfortunately, listed as even a second-round pick. That doesn't mean things can't change. When you're getting workouts, that means you're at least on the radar in some sense of it. So perhaps he is able to improve his standing or make an impression. But he's somebody that you'll want to see, Ken, at some point get that NBA chance, even if it's through the G League, going up and down, as we've seen Thomas Bryant and others do. You'd just like to see him reach that pinnacle. And then from there, the chips will fall where they may.
Well, and sometimes going undrafted is actually a positive for the player, because he could pick out the best situation for him and how he might fit, especially if you're a guy who has multiple offers, and a lot of guys do. You could pick what you think is going to be your best fit or your best opportunity to be successful. So sometimes going undrafted isn't the worst thing in the world.
Ken Bykoff, Peaks.com. Some scholarships open. Lester Canone is going to make a decision on Friday. IU's in a lot better standing with him than I think they were maybe earlier in the process, but still Memphis is projected by a lot to be the big favorite there. It would be an upset, I think, if Indiana were to be announced Friday as his college destination. That said, with or without Lester, there's going to be an opening. Any thoughts on what route IU could go for that? Could they pocket that? Or also along those lines, what do you want to see Indiana get with those open scholarships when you think about next year's team?
Well, what I know is that, I mean, this isn't, they're not going to force it. I mean, that's the thing. Archie Miller has been very clear about when it comes to scholarships, he's not going to fill them just to fill them. And I think that that's the right move, the right way to go about things. You want to make sure that you are doing your best in terms of roster management and not wasting scholarships when you have them. And that's one thing that, you know, the former coaching staff didn't do a great job with. So you ended up with players that maybe they could have used that scholarship opening the next year. Instead, it went to somebody that at Indiana, it's a four-year scholarship. And so you're locked into it, and you're there. They're not going to force something. If they have somebody that has the right tools that they need that they want to go with, they'll use it. But if they don't, they're not going to force it. And I think that that's the right way to go about things. You know, do you need to shore up certain areas? Maybe at times, but to me, it's about piecing together the roster and building that and putting together the puzzle that's going to make you not only successful in the short term, but provide a good, solid foundation and a balanced foundation in the long term. And so Archie Miller and his staff, I know they have plan A, plan B, plan C. You know, the whole thing is mapped out. And, you know, personally, I just, if you're going to use the scholarship, make sure it's somebody that's going to fit what you want to do without throwing off the balance of the roster going forward.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, my guest. Ken, as always, great to catch up. Oh, let me do get a quick comment on football, because I said we were going to talk a bit about it. I know there's been some good recruiting momentum. Obviously, a player that had some national prominence from Detroit that committed to the program, I think, a week and a half ago. And I've seen that from a football recruiting perspective, which we haven't talked a lot about on this program, a lot of offers going out, even to in-state kids here over the last few days, the last week or so. There's a lot of activity with IU football right now, including the recruiting side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the caliber of kid that is being offered and the caliber of kid that is saying yes to Indiana has taken a step forward. You know, a couple of years, there were no four-star guys that we looked at. This year, the class of 2019, Samson James is a four-star kid that's coming. Bo Robbins, Cameron Williams, these are all guys that are four-star guys that just raise the overall level of talent in that recruiting class. Now, you got to do something with them once they get on campus. But the fact those kids are saying yes is important. And Rashawn Williams, a wide receiver out of Michigan that you were talking about, you know, he's, you know, one of the highest graded recruits that's ever committed to Indiana. He has to get here. I mean, they have to sign him. That time has to come. But the fact that he's willing to look, I think, says a lot about what a player of that caliber thinks about Indiana's potential on offense. It, for a guy who is a pass catcher, it says something about what they think about the caliber of quarterbacks that are going to be delivering the ball to them. I think it's just a huge positive for the program, and it just shows that the relationships and the work that's being done on the recruiting trail are really starting to yield some positive results. And that's the kind of thing that once you have a couple of four-star kids commit to a program, now they're not the outlier. They could be somebody who joins things instead of standing out a little bit more. Indiana has been far more aggressive in going after higher quality kids than maybe they did 10 years ago, and it's starting to pay off.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com. Ken, as always, very appreciative of your time. Thanks for the great chat, and we'll do it again soon, I know.
Sounds great. Take care.
Ken Bykoff, Pigs.com, with us here on a Wednesday edition of the show. All right, we've got high school baseball tonight at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, if you're out and about, tune us in, stream us, however you listen to the Big X. Lee Kelly, P.K. Falkenstein, and myself will have pitch-by-pitch coverage as Jeffersonville plays at Highlander Field against Floyd Central tonight in a semifinal round game of the Hoosier Hills Conference tournament tonight. So that will be fun. We'll have the full story for you if you can't make it. We hope that you'll join us tonight. I'll head to a commercial break. We'll talk about that Hoosier Hills Conference baseball tournament and some other local Southern Indiana sports headlines with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. He's the sports editor, coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back, final segment. Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. He's the sports editor joins me each Wednesday as we talk local sports headlines in the area. Don't forget a lot about what we talk about in this segment and a lot more available with Craig and his sports team on the News and Tribune website, of course, in the News and Tribune sports section as well. Craig, Hoosier Hills Conference tournament this week. Floyd Central, big win on Monday. I wasn't sure that they would get past Columbus East to see this matchup tonight, but I'm glad it worked out that way. We've got Jeff and Floyd Central tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it was an interesting matchup when you thought about it because Floyd has shown that they can show up and hang with anybody. They had, you know, they've had some nice wins. You know, they've just had some games where they, you know, have been they've had some inconsistency this year. Oh my. And but yeah, in that Columbus East team, the only time I saw them was at Jeffersonville, and I think they scored 19 runs at Jeffersonville. So yeah, they were an impressive veteran team that you knew was going to be a tough challenge for Floyd. But yeah, it's good to see the Highlanders win those, so it sets up a nice local matchup for us, and we're obviously guaranteed at least one local squad here in the championship on Friday night, so it should be a fun week.
Well, let's hope that we've got two. If New Albany can beat Bedford, we're guaranteed, as you said, either Floyd or Jeff, obviously, out of that bottom half of the bracket, which will be fun. And it's really a great precursor to the sectional tournament. The pairings came out. We know that New Albany and Jeff are going to face each other for sure in the bye game in the second round of sectional play. But a lot of these matchups we could potentially see again. And then you mentioned Floyd Central. Things haven't always went their way this season, but they've showed up in some big moments against big opponents. And I don't think you can count out the Highlanders or the Red Devils or the Bulldogs as far as our local entries go in that 4A sectional either.
Right. I mean, I think any of them have a great shot. I mean, Floyd obviously has some great pitching. You know, they've got a little bit of depth there as well. Was it Max Meyer that threw Monday night, allowed just one hit? You know, they've had some great performances. The no-hitter, you know, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, Jeffersonville's pitching has come along as well. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, I think Coach McIntyre lamented his pitching depth early in the year, and maybe it's come around a little bit, but that lineup top to bottom is very good, especially, you know, with some of those guys at the top. So yeah, I mean, we could see any of those three teams winning that, but yeah, definitely an interesting first round matchup with Jeff and New Albany.
I've always asked the coaches, Coach LeDuc, Coach Ellis, Coach McIntyre, when you play each other in the regular season, and then there's a chance you can play in the conference tournament, which is late in the season. Then there's that chance you can play in the sectional. And by the time the conference tournament is played, you also know the sectional pairings by that point. Do you ever hold something or withhold something or not show something or not throw a certain pitcher? Mm-hmm. Or if you do throw one of your ace pitchers, do you ask them or do you tell them to maybe withhold some of what's in their arsenal? Tough thing to do, because if you're in sports, whether you're a player or a coach, you want to win. It just kind of comes along with it, and it's tough to withhold, I would think, something when you're playing especially a rival school in a tournament-type situation like the conference tournament is. But it is interesting to think about. When you play two times, okay, not that big a deal. But when you play three times, to me, that there's something about that. That puts coaches, I think, in a little bit of a peculiar situation.
Yeah, I think they do make those considerations, particularly in April, probably during that maybe that regular season matchup where they're not, you know, pulling out all the stops maybe to get that win. But you know, I think this week, my thought would be that they're probably going to do whatever it takes to win this championship. You know, you want your kids to get in the habit of, you know, competing and ramping up to try to win a championship, and I think that's what's, you know, cool about having this conference tournament in my mind. You know, I've not been around a high school conference where they had a conference tournament like this. I think it's pretty neat as they kind of ramp up to get ready for postseason play.
Absolutely. Talking with Craig Pearson. Craig is the sports editor of the News and Tribune, and you can read a lot of their coverage, all of their coverage, at newsandtribune.com/sports. All right, we talk a lot about 4A baseball and New Albany Jeff Floyd because they're the big dogs and they've had success and they're fun to follow. But Providence, state champion, Silver Creek has made runs deep into the state tournament. Both of those teams very competitive once again this year. I also read a report coming out of the weekend from Ricky Romans, the Charlestown coach, that he is very satisfied with how his team has played lately. I think they won three or four in a row, some big wins for his team. So things going well generally, as always, it seems, for high school baseball teams in the area. Who else beside the New Albany, the Jeff, the Floyd angle that we've already talked about, who else kind of stands out to you that you've seen and that you're thinking maybe they could have some success in the tournament as well?
Well, I think first you mentioned them. You mentioned Providence, you know, and Scott Horning's last year, he announced, you know, a few weeks back that this will be his last, and that team's, you know, kind of been catching fire here the last couple of weeks. They beat Silver Creek at home. They won at New Albany. Now they're PrepBaseballReport.com has them number 9 in Class 3A now, and you know, that's a team I wouldn't want to play in the postseason. You know, and that they're in that North Harrison. No, they're in that. Yes, they're in that North Harrison sectional, and they'll play North Harrison in the first round. But yeah, like you said, Charlestown, you know, has some guys capable of helping them pull off an upset, and I think they've improved as the years went along. And you know, I think Silver Creek obviously has a lot of talent, so you know, you're definitely not going to count them out with the postseason resume they put together last year. And so that sectional is very interesting. You know, look forward to seeing how that 8-teamer shakes out. But you know, I think Charlestown, you mentioned, they beat a pretty solid Clarksville team that, you know, I think Clarksville's just under 500 in the Mid-Southern Conference, which is a very good baseball conference. So, you know, they're nothing to, you know, but they're floating around at 500. And, you know, Webster Walls has 6 home runs, and I had a story about him in today's paper, I should say. And so I'd check that one out, but he's one of the top players in the area as well. So, you know, just Henryville just won a, you know, 5-0 run through the Southern Athletic Conference, and I think they're 12-6 right now. So they're a team that's you know, going to feel like they're a favorite going into the sectional play in Class 2A.
Really, just about everywhere you turn, and it's this way most years, Craig. We see success from our local team. So good stuff. It sounds good for a lot of teams as we head down the last few weeks of the season. Of course, the sectional tournament will be here in the final days of May. And I think it's sectional championship games Memorial Day, or has that changed for this year?
I believe you're right,
yep.
Yes.
So always fun to have some holiday baseball, as we've called it in the past. Craig Pearson, my guest, talking local sports. Craig, another thing I wanted to bring up with you today, we saw the Indiana All-Stars announce their dates for this summer. That includes 2 games, Indiana versus Kentucky Junior All-Stars, which I think has been a great addition to the series, and I think that's something that can really catch on and help keep that pride and that rivalry between the two states alive. The exhibition game, which is always fun, can the juniors beat the seniors? It's a very good junior class this year. That date was announced for that exhibition game. And then, of course, the big show, the long-standing tradition of Indiana versus Kentucky, the senior All-Stars that play a 2-game series as well. Good news for local fans. At Mercy Academy is one of the junior games.
And media.
That's right. That's right. At Jeffersonville is the other game, so you can, within a 15-minute drive either way, you've got that covered for the junior series. And then, of course, you've got the Friday night game in the senior series. It's just across the river at Bellarmine. I tell you what, about a month from now, when it all starts, we'll really be missing basketball. I think you'll see some good turnouts for those local games.
Absolutely, yeah. It's just amazing to have them all so close and not have to drive, you know, multiple hours to go cover those, because we obviously have local connections that we want to, you know, report on with Kobe Barnes on the senior team, and we got, you know, Trey Coleman on the junior team. I saw Indy Star had him in their top, I think, 9th. Kyle Nedenrip had him as the 9th best in his class there, and You know, looking forward to seeing how he performs, whether that's against the Kentucky juniors and or against the senior squad. And, you know, even and on the girls' side, Nan Garcia, of course, you know, she's racking in college offers one day after another, it seems like. And, you know, look forward to seeing how she performs in that series against the Indiana senior all-stars on the girls' side.
Well, you covered it from a local perspective with just about everywhere you turn. There's some sort of interesting local connection in all those games that will take place. And then again, from an IU perspective, I said this earlier, going through the dates and the locations, you've
for
got
sure.
On the senior team, both 2019 recruits from Indiana, Trace Jackson Davis and Armand Franklin. They'll be in that two-game series. Trace, of course, is Mr. Basketball now. And then also, you know, in the junior all-star team, you just start at the very top. You've got Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway that are on the core group, which means they'll play both games here in the area in the junior series. And they'll also play that exhibition against the senior team. So lots of IU connections, lots of local connections, once again, for a series that I hope stays around for a long, long time.
Absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned Leal. I've seen him play a few times now, and you know, I think he'd be a great fit on IU, you know, just real athletic kid that shoots the ball well and, you know, I think defends pretty well as also. And, you know, him and Trey Galloway aren't that different players, right? I mean, they're somewhat similar type of guys and just – very fundamental and that sort of thing. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how those guys fit into those squad, to that squad. And, yeah, that should be a really talented junior team. So, yeah, looking forward to that for sure.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, with us always on Wednesdays. Where are you headed tonight? Jeff Floyd?
Yes, I'll be covering the Jeff Floyd Central game.
I've got good news. 6 o'clock first pitch. It's going to be clear and sunny, a perfect 84 degrees at Highlander Field, and I'd say we'll be able to enjoy a good one tonight.
Sounds great, Matt. We'll definitely see you there.
I've got bad news, though. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rain, it looks like, or at least the chance.
Okay.
So, Craig, thanks for being with us. Fun, as always, to talk about some of the local happenings going on. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Matt.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday program. Don't forget, Lee Kelly, P.K. Falkenstein, and myself will be at Highlander Field as well. We'll have pitch-by-pitch coverage. It's Jeffersonville at Floyd Central in the Hoosier Hills Conference tonight, right here on the Big X Sports Radio.